Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 20. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." This is the text. Last Sunday in Bible class, someone had a quick question. I know we've heard that one before. Fortunately, this time, God gave me the wisdom to offer a quick answer, especially because I was totally speaking from ignorance. The question was about what my opinion was of the History Channel's miniseries, The Bible. I have not taken any time to watch any of it. I just haven't seen even a second of it, so it's really hard for me to offer an opinion. But I'll offer my opinion anyway. I'm just kidding. That's a very dangerous thing to do, I hope you know. Speak from ignorance. I love it when people do that. As this mini-series has stirred up much interest, it's also stirred up much opinion. I haven't honestly really been too interested in watching it because I already read the book. And the movie is never going to be as good as the book. And that's the criticism that I've heard most about it, is that, oh, they've left stuff out. Well, that's what always happens to books when they turn them into movies. Now, however, this book is not Harry Potter or The Devil Wears Prada or anything like that. This book that has been turned into a movie, it matters a great deal that what is shown is faithfully rendered as to what actually happened. Because what actually happened means life for you and me. It means rescue from judgment. So speaking from a point of ignorance, because I have not seen any of this miniseries, the one thing that I could say with confidence is that this account of the Bible, any account of the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, cannot be told faithfully unless Christ is the focal point. One of my favorite quotes from Martin Luther is that you can cut the Bible on any page and it will bleed the blood of Christ. My word of advice to you is watch it if you want to watch it. But if the atoning sacrifice of the suffering servant, if the death and resurrection of Jesus is not foreshadowed throughout the Old Testament portion and blatantly emphasized at the appropriate times, then all you saw or heard was an interesting story. But it was not history. It was not his story, depending on how you want to pronounce that. It's much like what we heard from Jesus in our gospel reading. There is authentic, recorded, specific history of God's interaction with his people. And Jesus reminds all of his listeners of that history. In the Old Testament, the vineyard is always a reference to Israel. And it belongs to God. Those who are dwelling there are just renters. In the Old Testament, God sent his prophets, his servants, and they were sent. Literally, the word there, they were apostled. An apostle is one who is sent. The prophets are apostled. They're sent. And the people who Jesus is speaking to, they know what happened to the prophets. And Jesus alludes to that very clearly in our text. The tenants of the vineyard unapostled them. That is, they rejected the authority of the ones who were sent by God. And the people listening, they all knew what had happened. They knew their history. The prophets were mocked. They were threatened. They were chased out and had to flee for their lives. You don't hear about it specifically in Scripture, but it was common knowledge among the Jews that the prophet Isaiah was stuffed into a hollow log and they sawed the log in two. Yikes. An even bigger yikes is that the Jews and the rabbis talked about this, that Isaiah deserved what he got because he dared to say that Israel was a people of unclean lips. This, among other accounts, is what led Jesus to say, as we heard 3 weeks ago, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you." It was a commonly understood history. All the people knew the promises that God had made to them. They reiterated them yearly at the festivals. It was a part of their worship life. And all the people knew what their forefathers had done, how they had treated the prophets of God. And the prophets like John the Baptist were still being treated in the same way in Jesus' day. The people knew what Jesus was talking about. They knew what he was saying. The meaning of this parable did not need any explanation for anyone. Jesus gets to the end and he says, "What will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and he will give the vineyard to others." And the people, when they heard this, said, "Surely not." Well, they knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. They knew their history, but they could not fathom this being the outcome. The Jews wanted to be a part of God's history, but they didn't want the real story. They wanted a smoothed-over, superficial, feel-good, everybody in our land gets to go to heaven, and God would never punish me and take his favor away from me and give it to those Gentile people? Surely not. As we dealt with the prodigal ancient world headbanger last week, when the Apostle Paul went out into the Gentile world, it was to the tattooed, foul-mouthed pagans that he went, and they did receive the gospel, and they were invited into the vineyard, and we, Gentiles, have become the new Israel. We are the children of Abraham, maybe not by birth, but certainly by faith. And it is good to be a part of God's history. It is good to be a part of his story, because the story is all about Jesus and his love for you, his suffering, his death, the payment that he makes, the way that he stands between you and the judgment of God's law. All throughout this Lenten season, on our Wednesday evening services, we've been focusing on how the Son of God was sent into the world as the seed of the woman, promised to Adam. He takes on flesh and reverses all of the curses of sin brought into the world because of Adam's sin. And you cannot tell the real story of the Bible unless you show how the real people of the Old Testament were pointed in the direction of the Messiah. And it was the Messiah who was to come. That's what the entire Old Testament is about. The Savior who was to come and rescue them. That's the real story. And you certainly cannot tell the story of the New Testament without blatantly emphasizing the suffering, death, and resurrection of that Savior who has come. There is a reason that God's church around the world spends 14 weeks during this time of year celebrating Lent and Easter. We take 14 weeks to focus in on the suffering, the pain, the price that Jesus paid, and then celebrating his resurrection. 7 weeks for each. We only spend 2 to 3 weeks on Christmas. Oh, you can sort of kind of count Advent in there if you want to, and maybe that'll get you to 6 or 7 weeks. But Advent really isn't a celebratory time focusing on Jesus' birth. At least it's not designed to be. This is the really important time of the year. Now, our world wants to dismiss Lent. Our world wants to say, oh, why should we celebrate that? We don't want to celebrate that. Why do we want to talk so much about the suffering of Christ? Why do we want to talk about sin so much? We don't like to talk about that. Our world wants Easter to last for one day and for us to be focused on bunnies and eggs. Our world wants to do to the Son of God and the ones who have been sent by God with authority. Our world wants to do to Christ's church what the tenants of the vineyard did to the son of the owner and to the sent ones, the apostled ones that Jesus speaks of in the parable. The tenants acted the way that they did because they did not recognize the owner of the vineyard as having any real power. They did not recognize him as having any authority to punish them, and they dismiss him as being nothing, or, you know, off in a distant place and unable to act. And our world has treated Christ and his church the same way. Christ's one holy apostolic church. God, the owner of the vineyard, is viewed as being off in a distant place, maybe looking down from on high, but not having any real power, certainly not having any authority to punish me or hold me accountable for his will. A loving God would never punish me anyway, so our culture says. In surveys concerning beliefs of God, this particular view, it's called deism. Deism is the most commonly held view in our culture today concerning God. And in surveys, deism is much more commonly held than salvation through faith, salvation by grace alone, salvation in the broken body and shed blood of Christ being the only source. It is unfortunate, but a false story has been told and retold, and Christ gets cut out of it, and all that you get left with are, you know, interesting, you know, tales of moralism. And that's all that our world wants to hear about God. Now, I can't say what is being presented on any show on the History Channel, you know, except for Ancient Aliens, and we know that that's real. You ever watch that? I'm just kidding, by the way. The one thing I know is that a movie will never be as good as the book. No movie ever is. Which is why there is no substitute for being in the book. And other material, other, you know, videos and that support the real history of God interacting with his people, I find to be very helpful. I encourage you to look at that also. The problem is, ones that tell the real story are really hard to find. Which is why I am fascinated with the work that Pastor Jonathan Fisk is doing. And if you haven't checked out his videos on YouTube, I encourage you to do so. Make sure that you are hearing the real story. Like the tenants in the vineyard, there are many who want this smoothed over, superficial, feel good. Everybody in our land gets to go to heaven. God would never punish me. Unreal, unapostled story. We look always to Christ. And as Scripture repeatedly says, He is our cornerstone. And as we are reminded, He has been rejected. But it is in His broken body and His shed blood alone that you and I have life. And we have life to the full. And we can gather together today and rejoice that we are the object of God's love in His story. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.